Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the last Sunday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Tonight's hosts are me, Patty, and
Janelle.
And Jove.
We all attend Laytonville High School. Tonight, our topic is teenagers and alcohol. When young people are caught with alcohol and their parents find out, the adults often say, well, it isn't like they're using drugs. When a police officer finds teenagers having a drinking party at a house or on a back road, they tend to confiscate the remaining alcohol and tell the youth to go home. When teachers on Monday morning overhear students bragging about how drunk they got on Saturday night, they shrug it off and write it as part of growing up. Many youth use alcohol for the same reasons adults do, to relieve stress, reduce inhibitions, and induce relaxation. Some youth use alcohol for the same reasons other adults do, to numb their pain, to forget their worries, to overcome their fears. Many youth feel more adult when they drink and more willing to take risks, showing off, fighting, driving fast, or having unsafe sex. Alcohol is the most commonly used drug among teenagers, even more common than aspirin. Alcohol has been tried by 44% of 8th graders and 64% of 10th graders. People who begin drinking before age 15 are 4 times more likely to develop alcohol dependence at some point in their lives. Drinking alcohol before the brain is finished developing around age 21 causes damage to the areas of the brain responsible for learning and memory. Experts at Columbia University have found that 30% of current high school students binge at least once a month, and that 25% of the alcohol in America is consumed by people under 21. The alcohol industry targets young people in magazines, TV, video games, and on the web. One organization working to reverse these trends is the StopTeenDrinking.org. They have offices around the country, and the director of the program for Mendocino County will be calling in later to describe the work being done locally. We'll begin the show by discussing our research and experiences concerning teens and alcohol. We are very interested in your opinions, and after we have had our discussion, we'll invite you to join in the conversation. We're here at the Willett Studio, and our phone number will be 456-9991. We'll encourage everyone to join in the discussion in about 30 minutes. So we'll begin by talking about the prevalence of alcohol among the youth here in Mendocino County. Jove, do you think these statistics of teen alcohol use are true here in our county?
Yeah, I think, you know, in high school and just in the teenage group, there's a lot of peer pressure and, you know, it's become more or less this kind of like social aspect at the teenage level because, you know, so many teenagers accept it and, you know, it's kind of like the social thing to do. And, you know, when kids go into high school, you know, they're not really sure as to, you know, they've just come out of middle school and they're going into a new stage of responsibility and everything. And it's this whole new level of, you know, like just pressure and, you know, just trying to impress the bigger guy and, you know, it's just a whole different blend of all these pressures and, you know, just social ideas and stuff. What do you think, Janelle?
I've definitely, you know, noticed that as well. As well as the social aspect of drinking, I've noticed a lot of high school students using alcohol, you know, to deal with stress and emotional problems.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of kids these days have the idea that, you know, you can't have fun at a party or you can't have fun hanging out with just your friends without needing alcohol. And it's become, you know, more or less like just the main idea when you're around all your friends or, you know, just other kids in high school and so forth.
I agree. And it's also like that acceptance factor, you know, as well. Like, you know, teenagers accept that, you know, you drink alcohol, but besides from teenagers or people under 21, it's, you know, your parents, your aunts, your uncles, you know, all the adults are out there drinking alcohol, you know, for the stress factors and the emotional factors, you know, your mom or dad has had a hard day's work and they come home and have a shot or a glass of wine or a beer, you know, to relax themselves and to relieve that stress. And, you know, from an early age, you see that. And although you might not really be realizing it, you're learning those behaviors, you know, as you go. And so, I mean, I think that has a major part
and
in how you
act. I also think that, you know, alcohol is in a bigger part of our lives than we even realize, like you were just saying, because, I mean, you know, we're exposed to it in our households, you know, at our friends' places, you know, on TV, the radio, the internet, everywhere we go, you know, we're exposed to alcohol. And, you know, they give it this, like, you know, dashing, you know, like, really new, good-looking taste to it, you know, make it look like it's such a glorious thing that, you know, we're just exposed to it without even really thinking about it all the time.
And it's so accepted. Most parents would rather have their child out drinking than out doing ecstasy or cocaine or heroin. You know, there's that acceptance, oh, at least my kids aren't doing drugs, or, oh, it's okay, they need to learn how to drink. And although it is important to learn how to drink, because we as teens don't know how to drink, we also need to, you know, also get beyond that acceptance and really need to be educating youth on how to do it safely and what is safe for you and what isn't.
Just to put some of this in perspective, in case some of you don't know, we have a statistic here that says that alcohol has been tried by 44% of 8th graders and 64% of 10th graders. And that to me is, you know, an alarmingly high percentage for a group that's so young.
And on average, a child tries alcohol for the first time at age 12. You know, so it isn't even, you know, when you're going into high school, and I mean, that is a big factor, you know, that peer pressure when you make the transition from middle school or the grade schools to high school. But, you know, it's happening in middle school. It's happening when people aren't aware of it happening. And, you know, and it's at that age where, you know, your parent isn't thinking, oh, I need to be talking to my child at age 12 about alcohol. You know, that's a while before they turn 21, and it's a while before, you know, people really think they're getting exposed to alcohol and drugs.
Another one of the problems with children starting drinking so early is that, you know, there's a big myth that, you know, oh, kids want to, you know, experiment with alcohol, and, you know, it's just it's something that they'll outgrow. And that's, in fact, it's really the opposite. You know, it just, when children start drinking earlier, it leads to, you know, higher rate of alcohol dependency later in life. And that's one of those things that I think is really starting to happen a lot more with people starting to drink at a younger age.
Yeah, a child who starts drinking before or at age 15 is 4 times more likely to get a alcohol dependency. So, I mean, obviously, it's a problem that needs to be addressed at a lower level or a lower age level, but even just, like, be addressed in general.
Yeah, I think some of the problems is that, you know, a kid will go out and, you know, drink, you know, in the evening, and, you know, he'll be throwing up, or, like, he or she, you know, might get sick and throw up or whatever, and then, like, the next day, you know, they might be feeling all right, and, you know, after, like, you know, a day after that, they feel perfectly fine, and it's, like, these short-term effects, you know, they don't seem like anything to them, and, you know, we never really hear about, you know, reasons why you don't drink and drive, and, like, reasons of what alcohol actually does to your brain. And, you know, I think that a lot of kids misinterpret, you know, just what alcohol actually does to your entire body.
So. This is a statistic from the American Medical Association, and it says that children need to only drink half as much as adults to suffer the same negative long-term health consequences. And, you know, the health consequences are a really, you know, big problem in this issue. But as Jove was saying a second ago, you know, about the short-term effects, you know, not really being as obvious and prevalent, you know, as the long-term effects. And alcohol, you know, is a drug. And alcoholism is the psychological addiction of it is a learned behavior. And what children and students are starting to do now is to just start that learned behavior a lot earlier, and it's creating a lot of problems.
Well, and I also think, like, in that the way of education, you know, so that we do stop, you know, teen drinking at this early age or whatever, it has to be more than just, you know, like, telling someone, I think, why not to drink and drive, even though, I mean, that's the first step for sure, you know, like, having people understand what's really going on. But, you know, like, I've heard since I was very little, like, alcohol kills your liver. And just as a teenager, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, when I'm 50 or 60, I'm going to have a crappy liver. That's 40 years down the line or 30 years down the line, you know? So, I mean, I'm not really thinking about my liver while I'm going out and drinking. But on a different standpoint, if I was to be told about the brain damages I would be experiencing in 3, 4, 5 years from now, that would have a different effect on me. You know, I would be, you know, my learn, it would, I would think about, you know, how I would learn and how I would be able to perceive the situations.
Yeah, I mean, one, like, I couldn't agree more. I mean, like, until recently, you know, I always understood don't drink and drive just as don't drink and drive. I mean, you know, I think a lot of kids, you know, like, they understand that term, but if they actually got into the car and, you know, started up their car and, you know, they're drunk and they're like, oh, I could do this fine, and the only thing they ever heard is don't drink and drive, then they have no idea, you know, what's wrong with it or anything like that. I mean, if they knew that, you know, it can slow down your reaction time and, like, you know, just all these different things that can happen to you, then I think people would be, you know, less willing to, you know, just try and get away with things like that.
Yeah, you know, as I think that education more on, you know, the why, just not the what, is really important. And another thing about, you know, alcohol, is, you know, one of the causes of it is, you know, you're stressed or you're depressed and, you know, school is really hard. But the thing is that that's a cause of, you know, drinking alcohol, but it's also an effect because alcohol is a depressant and it will, you know, it makes your depression or your stress worse in the long run, which I think, really needs to be talked about more.
I agree. Just to clarify, one of the actual physical effects alcohol does on your body is it reduces the levels of serotonin and norepinephrine levels in the body, the chemicals that produce the feelings of happiness, basically. And so that's like, so one of the myths that people have is that alcohol will make me happy. If I'm depressed, I'm going to go drink to get away from my feelings, to, you know, do whatever. But in reality, it really will make you more depressed.
As far as the physical side effects, what alcohol does is it damages two parts of your brain. One is called the hippocampus, and that section of your brain is focused on memory and learning. And continued drinking, they've done studies and they have discovered that it actually decreases the size of this part of your brain by 10%. And the other area it affects is the prefrontal area, and that, you know, undergoes an enormous amount of change and growth during your adolescent years, and that section, you know, regulates your responsibility and your judgment and all the things that, you know, make you develop and turn into an adult. And when that cycle is disturbed, if you're drinking as an adolescent, sometimes it can't, you know, you never have a chance to catch up emotionally and mentally as an adult.
So, parents or listeners, if you're out there and you're thinking about, you know, how can you address this issue, like, to your kids or to someone, a youth you know, basically the main thing you really need to be doing is just talk to them, you know, tell them, you know, ask them about what they're doing, you know. I have some do's and don'ts here if you're to how to address this issue with your teenagers. The do's are as simple as speaking from the heart, basically. the biggest don't is don't do all the talking. You really need to listen to what teenagers and what we have to say, because if you just do all the talking, we're going to blank it all out. We're not going to listen, and the whole conversation will be basically be pointless. Don't threaten people don't threaten a teen if, you know, your child or your nephew or someone comes up and says, I have been drinking. You know, don't punish them in that sort of way. Try to, because that's just ignoring the situation completely, or not completely, but it's prolonging further problems. You know, talk to them and really get down to the nitty-gritty about where the problems come from and break it down so that they won't drink again, instead of threatening them, because the next time they'll go behind your back and then they won't be calling for help if they are drunk at a party and they need a ride home. They'll take the drunk driver rather than your advice or your driving.
Yeah, and I think that what the main point you're talking about is that that people need to not be so much of an authority figure, but someone who can, you know, you can rely on and actually talk to. And, you know, instead of, like, it seems like a lot of people's mottos to, you know, just try to, like, drill it into someone's head that, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. But then it seems that, you know, people rebel even harder when you tell them to do them that, or when you tell them that they can't do something. And when you try to, you know, compromise or just help someone out on a more negotiable level, then it has a lot better ending results.
Yeah. And also just attacking someone straight on. Like in that way Job was talking about, that, you know, all it does is it puts you up against the wall, and, you know, you'll lie, you'll just deny that you ever did touch alcohol or a drug, and then, you know, where are you there? You know, you can't really
do anything. I've known people who've been backed up against the wall so hard and so many times that, you know, no matter what the situation is, they feel uncomfortable to tell the truth just because they've been like that before, and, you know, they feel like there's no way out.
Mm-hmm. And some numbers you can call for help, or a teenager can call for help, is 1-800-557-2230. That's the 1-800 number line for the StopTeenDrinking.com. And then we also have a crisis line, and that's 1-800-575-4357. And you can also go up on the website for more information at www.stopteendrinking.com.
We have some other numbers as well that we'll be giving out throughout the show, and that we'll also give out at the end, just to help, you know, in any situation if you as a parent or as a student feel like you need some help.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Meredith Reinhardt from the Mendocino County Department of Public Health Alcohol and Other Drug Prevention Programs, and thanks for inviting me on this evening. You've done a tremendous job. You've covered a lot of ground, and I might be repeating a few things, but I'd like to add some things as well. So the Division of Alcohol and Other Drug Prevention Programs received a 3-year grant from the state of California. We were one of 13 counties that were awarded this grant. There are 58 counties in the state, so one of 13. And we're in the second year. The first year was planning, and we did some research around the county. And the second year, we began doing a education component. And we have a website now, as you mentioned before, www.stopteendrinking.org, and a toll-free number, again, is 1-800-557-2230. If you don't have access to the Internet, feel free to call, and we'd be happy to send you the resources that are on the website. We have some cheesy spots on the website if you have the correct software. And these TV spots were aired on local cable channels. And then we also did some radio advertising on several different stations. You may have heard us underwriting KZYX programming. And there are posters to download with statistics that were mentioned earlier in the show. There's bookmarks, brochures. There's even an interactive little piece called a blood alcohol calculator. And you can punch in your age and weight and how much you've had to drink, and it will tell you what your blood alcohol level is. Let's see. I basically have been contacting businesses and medical offices and community-based organizations and nonprofits throughout Mendocino County to get the word out. Because research shows that if you start talking to your child at a young age and keep a dialogue going, they're less likely to engage in risky behaviors. Some local statistics from the Healthy Kids Survey that was done in 2003, with 11th graders, they reported that they had binged 5 or more drinks within 2 hours at least once in the past 30 days. About 36% of 11th grade high school students in Willits, 27% of the same age students in Ukiah schools, and 45% of the Fort Bragg High School juniors reported at least one binge episode in the 30 days before the survey. Now, some of your listeners may not be familiar with the term binge drinking, and a common definition is 5 or more drinks in one sitting for a male and 4 or more in one sitting for a female. And, you know, not only are youth starting to drink at a young age, they're taking it to a new level, which is binge drinking. And that's become a very, very serious problem. Alcohol poisoning can come into play. They could get behind the wheel. They can get in trouble with the law. It's just quite frightening what this binging behavior is producing. One of the other aspects of our campaign, we call it a community awareness campaign because we want the community to start talking and start being involved. And we don't want to just leave it up to public health to be doing all the work. It's a community effort. And I know our county is geographically challenged. However, there are resources in most of all the communities, and we like to collaborate with other organizations and just build a stronger base that way through collaboration. I've been going into classrooms and have done health fairs around the county, speaking with small groups of students and showing, you know, a short DVD that, you know, explains the harmful effects of underage drinking. And we've also recently produced and are in the process of distributing a wallet card, which looks like a credit card. And on the front, it is our logo, which is a barcode. And it says, free wallet card, 1-800-557-2230. And with life-saving instructions and our website. And on the flip side, it gives some tips. I'll take a minute to read it really quickly. So it says, you may never start drinking alcohol, but you may know friends who do. Follow the instructions below to know what to do in an emergency. How to know if someone is drunk. Slurred speech, seems mentally confused, uncoordinated movement, sudden or unexplained movement. How can you help? Don't let them drink anymore. Don't let them drive a car or a bike. Take them home or guide them away from dangerous situations. And it also says call 911 if someone is drunk and is unconscious or passed out, has cold, clammy, or bluish skin, is breathing less than 12 times per minute, won't wake up even after you slap or pinch them or shout out their name, is vomiting without waking up. And last but not least, never allow them to lay on their back. Don't exercise them to sober them up. Don't give them food, water, coffee, drugs, or a cold shower. Stay with them until help arrives. So, you know, if we're not going to be able to stop the epidemic completely, then we want to reduce harm. And putting together these wallet cards and getting them out to high schoolers throughout the county is a way to hopefully reduce some of the negative consequences of drinking, underage drinking. Another thing we've done with the community awareness campaign is we sent a letter out to all middle and high school parents, and we announced the statistics in the letter that I spoke of earlier, and encouraging them to talk to their kids and to visit our website and to call the toll-free number. Part of what the youth are up against is alcohol advertising. I mean, it's incredibly large. In fact, some of the statistics are the combined value of illegal underage drinking and adult pathological drinking to the industry was at least $48.3 billion, or 37.5% of consumer expenditures for alcohol in 2001. Alternative estimates suggest that the cost may be closer to $62.9 billion, or 48.8% of consumer expenditures for alcohol. What's been popular with the youth are Alka-Pops. It's not a common name. When I've done presentations to classrooms, the Alka-Pops name doesn't really ring a bell, but when I give some examples of what those drinks might be, then, you know, there is acknowledgement. A few names are Mike's Hard Lemonade, Zima, Bacardi Silver, and Smirnoff's Ice. And what the alcohol industry is doing is they're getting their products placed next to the sodas in the coolers. And I went around Ukiah recently and did a little research and to see how, you know, it affects us locally. And there are a couple of stores in the Ukiah Valley that I've been to that, sure enough, put the Alka-Pops right next to the soda. And statistics are saying that young women are really getting addicted to these Alka-Pops because they're so tasty, and you don't feel like you're drinking alcohol. And that's really unfortunate. So it is a big job to take on the alcohol industry, but, you know, in each community where people want to get mobilized, I mean, change can happen. Marin County, for instance, they worked for a long time to take away alcohol advertising for their county fair, and they were able to put a ban on advertising, having, like, the alcohol industry be an underwriter for the county fair in Marin. So change can happen. It's just whether communities want to do something about it. Some consequences for underage drinking and driving, well, Well, I'll start with, if you're caught with a fake ID, the penalty is a minimum of $250 fine and or 24 to 32 hours of community service, or a maximum $1,000 fine and or 6 months in the county jail, plus a 1 year suspension of your driver's license. If you don't have one yet, you'll have to wait an extra year to get one. So another law in California, if you attempt to purchase alcohol as a minor, the penalty is a maximum $100 fine and or 24 to 32 hours of community service, plus a 1 year suspension of your driver's license. If you don't have one yet, you'll have to wait an extra year to get one. And then it goes on and on about possession if you're a minor. And these facts can be found on the state website, www.abc.ca.gov/teencorner. So this is from the Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control. Let's see, some of the points, I was taking notes earlier in the show, and you know, it's true, you hear you say, well, I'm depressed and I'm going to, you know, start drinking and it's going to make me feel better. Well, you're just covering up the symptom of depression. You're not getting to the root of the problem. And as you said earlier, it just creates more depression. So the more dialogue, the more people that youth have in their lives, if it's not a parent, then it could be a guardian or a mentor or even aunts or uncles, siblings who, you know, want to partake in healthy lifestyles. That's a really, really good thing. So that's a few things that I wanted to touch base with you about.
Well, Meredith, I actually had one question for you.
Okay.
So what does what do you think the most effective method for getting young people to know what the what drinking will the problems drinking creates?
Well, I think education is where you have to start, being whether it's within the family, within the school community where youth spend a lot of their time. You know, having a role model, someone who, you know, is a good, positive force in a student's life, a young adult's life. That's what research shows. There are some communities across the nation that are having parents sign pledges to provide safe homes for their youth, wherein they're not allowed to have alcoholic beverages or tobacco or other drugs in the home, you know, be present at their parties and ensure that nothing gets, you know, into the party. You know, encourage drug and alcohol-free activities for underage youth. I mean, that's a common survey answer when, you know, youth are asked. So, you know, why do you use, you know, to have a good time, to fit in, to be cool, to escape? And, you know, the appeal is it makes them feel good, they deal with the problems, and they can forget about their problems. But basically, you know, the question was also asked, what's the real cost in your life? And they said loss of family, friends, kids get removed by CPS, people lose their trust, it ruins your life, your health suffers, it costs money. So, and then they were asked, what can parents do? And they answered, love us more, support us more, treat us better, pay attention to us, be with us more, things like that. So, you know, communication, sometimes it's challenging, but, you know, talking to other parents who may be going through the same issue could be helpful. and just dialogue, you know, not an aggressive dialogue, but just kind of like opening up and, you know, just taking it one step at a time.
Well, thank you, Meredith, very much.
Thanks for having me on the air, and I really appreciate you committing this program to the topic, because the more outreach we can do, the more successful the grant will be. So I do thank you for everything. And I hope, and I encourage listeners to call in and discuss issues that you may know about in your community. And if you don't want to call in but you want to talk to our staff, please call the 800 number. I'll give it to you one more time. It's 1-800-557-2230.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, have a good night. Take care. Bye-bye.
So we're going to open the phone lines now. After this phone call, the number is 456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call in, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, and the concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call in if you have any questions or insights about teens and alcohol. Do you think there really is a problem, or are people exaggerating the dangers of alcohol in youth? The number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion.
We'd like to thank Meredith again. Once again, she was from Stop Teen Drinking, and we'll be giving out that website and the number again later in the show.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I want to thank you for having this show. I think it's really important. I'm a parent of a teenager, and I'm not sure that other parents realize that the definition of parties has really shifted since, like, when I was a kid. I think now it's a party is what constitutes a party is when there's no adult supervision and a lot of alcohol, a lot of drugs, a lot of sex, and rock and roll. And this, you know, so I think it's really important for parents to know to check in around the party scene and recognize that it's, you know, it's often unsupervised. And it's not just the alcohol, but it's, you know, there are now things called farm parties that you guys may know about where kids bring pharmaceuticals to these parties. And teenagers that are at the parties are mixing pharmaceutical drugs and alcohol, and that's very dangerous, especially when they're opiates like Oxycontin and things like that. That can really be dangerous and or even possibly lethal. So I wonder if you guys could talk about how this notion of a kind of party has evolved to the point where it's, you know, they're often held in motels or houses where there aren't any adult supervisors, and what kids should look out for, because it's not just drinking and driving, it's teen pregnancy, it's STDs and violence and all kinds of things. So I, as a parent of a teenager, I'm really concerned about these issues, and I wonder if you have any comments about this.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and we will address that. Well, I think the whole evolution of this party is what that last caller said. Although he was right in what he was saying, he did say things to a little bit of an extreme. But, I don't know if it's an extreme or not. A lot of the parties I have been to, parents are there supervising. They might even provide the alcohol, that sort of thing. There's sort of this idea that, well, if I'm here, I see what adults having is, oh, I'm here watching and supervising, so if anything goes wrong, I can be here for help. And, you know, it's better they're, you know, here with me and I can somehow teach them how to drink. And so, like, that is when there is parents around, that's, I think, what the parties are like. But, of course, the ideal situation is to not have parents around, to be in a remote place where you won't get bothered. I mean, that's like the ideal party. Once again, the number is 456-991.
Well, what you were saying, you know, I have noticed that too, but I think I tend to be more on the side of the last caller. In my opinion, that if a parent is at, you know, attending a party like this and allowing this and supplying the alcohol, I don't think that they are really doing their job as a parent and being responsible. So it, you know, might as well be that they might not even be there. That's, you know, just sort of my opinion.
But there's also then another level where there, you know, I, like, if I was at a party and I'm drinking and all of a sudden I'm in a scary situation, I'd much rather have an adult there to help out in a situation where, so, you know, if someone was trying to get in a fight with another person, you know, they could stop that, they could make sure if someone's overdosed or has alcohol poisoning, they actually get the proper help that they need, there's adults I know in my community that I can call if I was drunk and I couldn't drive home so that I won't, you know, be drinking and driving and that kind of stuff.
That is true.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing? Just wanted to say something. First of all, I wouldn't promote drinking. I don't think it's great that anybody drinks, regardless of their age. But there's some things I think that you're missing. I think alcohol has actually been part of our society, at least European society, forever. It was how we dealt with our water supply. It was how we kept it safe. It killed all the bacteria that might have made us ill, as you know, in the 15th century and before that. And I think that we might be predisposed towards alcoholism, or the abuse of alcohol. And I don't know, just some of the ways that you're approaching alcohol or that I hear it approached, I don't think isn't necessarily correct. And I think you might want to re-examine that, and put it in a different perspective, and that might help deal with the issue of over-drinking teens and adults in our society. That's all I got.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. And that, I know from personal experience, I have a family member who actually grew up in Italy for the first couple years of, through his sort of teenage years, or he was a little bit younger, but he, you know, had that whole glass of wine every night at dinner that was watered down since he was a little boy. And, you know, he grew, like, in you know, the Italian society, alcohol is accepted in a lot of parts of Europe, you know, and there isn't that age relationship with alcohol. And so, you know, I was told that, you know, in Italy you don't see people, you know, completely drunk and getting violent or causing large and huge scenes and situations that you do see here in America because of whatever reasons.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a big difference between, you know, people using alcohol, like Patty said, in Italy, compared to people just abusing it and, you know, using it to get drunk and, you know, just have whatever effects happen to them.
And there's also, like, that age relationship. Like, I think that that's a really important thing to hit on. Like, you know, as a teenager, I see alcohol and drinking alcohol associated with being an adult, you know, because that's what you get to do when you're 21 and growing up, you know? So, you know, it makes you feel older and, you know, more mature, but in reality, you know, it's just drinking alcohol. You know, like, that shouldn't be there. And, like, in other cultures, it isn't, and they seem to not have the same problems as we do here. Caller, you're on the air.
Thank you for this program. I think it's important for young teenage women to know that if they're pregnant, even one drink can cause fetal alcohol syndrome. It won't necessarily cause it, and some women drink throughout the pregnancy and the child's fine, and other women have one drink and the child has fetal alcohol syndrome, which is last for their life, creates mental retardation and other problems. So it's a risk factor, and I think it's important for young women to know. And some women may not take that information in or care, but other women, if they have the information, may make a change in their behavior. So I think it's just important to put it out there so that they have all the information. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller. And sort of on that same note, I have a statistic here that says that 1 in 6 teenage girls who have tried alcohol have been sexually active after drinking. You know, and so, well, it doesn't really apply to being pregnant and drinking. I mean, that's obviously a danger zone right there. But, you know, it definitely lowers your standards and, you know, obviously safe sex is an issue. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I appreciate your show also, as other callers have said. And I was actually down in the Bay Area last time you guys were on the air, and you can also get you on Internet, which I think that's great because you could be heard all around besides just around here. I guess one of the things, one of your callers was just talking about, like when Johnny Appleseed came out and, oh, it's planting the apples. And he went across the country and he was planting apples. It actually was to create hard cider so that people could cultivate the country and then have water to drink, or not water, but I mean have liquid to drink that then they could survive there. So I think, and also in the encyclopedia that I have, it says that alcohol first started 4,200 B.C. in Mesopotamia. So I think that we do, it's like inherit in our culture, in society, and I think that that's something that you're, you know, fighting against or whatever the issues would be. My encyclopedia also says that it, the taxes on alcohol and whiskey and beer or whatever are a main revenue for the United States and for state tax, state money. So that's something else somebody also mentioned. So I think there's a lot of problems that you face as you're trying to deal with this subject. But my main question is discussing peer pressure. And so your child buys into all this stuff about he doesn't want to drink. And then he goes to a party and people are saying, come on, come on, here's a beer, here's a drink, here's one of those hard lemonade things or whatever. What do you have to say to the person that actually doesn't want to do that and but wants to have a good time or be accepted?
Well, I think that that's a really difficult thing to do, to, you know, stand up to peer pressure in any situation. One thing that I do when I'm in a situation where other people are drinking is to, you know, just explain that I don't feel like I need to drink alcohol to have fun with my friends, you know, that I have a good time anyways, and that's just one way that I would do it.
So you have, like, strength inside yourself?
Yeah, I guess so.
And, well, like, another way to approach that same thing is if you don't feel like you can say no to all those, you know, like, to peer pressure, which is a very, very, very difficult thing to do. I mean, you know, you can always do the fake, you know, carrying a beer around at the party, you know, and, you know, not be drinking out of it. But, you know, no one's going to harass you about drinking if you have a beer bottle in your hand, no matter what.
And also knowing the fact that, you know, people should enjoy you for, you know, just who you are, not, like, the drunk person that you become. Like, you know, if you're really not worried about, if you, you know, really want to think about it, then someone should just, you know, be happy with who they are and, you know that their friends will like them anyways.
Uh-huh. So how can you promote that? How can you get... Because I'm finding, like, I think there's a huge campaign about cigarettes and what cigarettes have done to people, with the Marlboro Man getting cancer, et cetera. But now I'm finding that youth are smoking cigarettes. So I'm wondering, these facts about your brain or whatever, if people are going to buy into that as much as perhaps something else. Maybe that idea of who you are is really valuable, and we want your personality kind of intact or something like that. How could you get that message that Jove just said sort of more out there?
Well, I mean, like, there's certain, like, programs at school, like peer counselors, or just going around to your classmates or at the parties, or whatever, and saying, hey, I'm not drinking, but I'm still cool. This is who I am, you know, that type of thing.
So you think, do you feel that the school does that well enough?
No.
No, but you think through peer counseling and maybe more programs about that, that would be good?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's a hard thing to address, like, you know, alcohol, drugs, sex education at the schools is like, you know, it's a hard thing to bring on like a day-to-day level where I think people really need to be talking to about it at a day-to-day level. Because, I mean, like, no matter what, like, in my my classes, for instance, especially like my art class, for example, I don't know, it's like the class people talk about partying in. But, like, I always hear people talking about, you know, drinking or doing drugs or this or that. And so, like, you know, like, having, like, for example, me standing up and saying, hey, what's cool about that, or something like that, rather than, you know, just sitting there and listening to it, you know, like, doing those sort of intervention things, rather than just doing the drug education and sex education, or the education through adults, you know, like, really get it, like, one-on-one, like, beyond the programs, you know, like when you're walking down the hall, say that's not cool or something like that. That's where it needs to be taking place.
Do you think that would be successful then, that kids wouldn't just sort of shine you on, or you think they might listen?
Well, I mean, you're using the same method of peer pressure that gets people to drink to get people to stop drinking.
Right, that's a good point.
Also, I think, you know, it's very difficult to, you know, create a program or something that could reach enough people, you know, that would get the message across that, you know, drinking doesn't have to be cool. And I think that one of the only successful ways is just for, you know, each person to just themselves go out and just, you know, talk to people about that, you know, talk to their friends, talk about, you know, announce it in art class. You know, I don't think this is cool. I think that's probably the most efficient way, just for everyone to just try and do a little bit.
All right, well, that's we talked about that one other time. One person can make a difference, right?
Right.
So good luck to you guys. I enjoy your show, so thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Caller, you're on the air.
Well, hello. Well, you're covering a lot of stuff here, and I'd like to address one part of it as a former teenager and a currently alive 55-year-old certifiably insane alcoholic. I would advise anybody that's drinking to just do one relatively simple thing. When you're drinking, don't get in a car, period. Don't drive it. Don't get in as a passenger. Just it's a very small step to separate being in an automobile from the reality of drinking, right? And that probably has saved my life, and I'm sure it saved other people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
No, so I'm not willing to address the ethics of drinking or not drinking, but the big reality is just make that little step.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get in a car. It might mean you might have to have a couple of phone numbers to call somebody to help you out to give you a ride, or, you know, travel with your sleeping bag, man. Stay where you are. You know, but I offer that, so keep up the good work.
Thank you very much, caller.
That's a very good point that caller just made. I know in my community, there are people that the majority of our high school knows to call if they are in a situation where they need to get home, get a ride home, you know. So there are adults, and I encourage other people in other communities, if you're trying to figure out a way to help out, you know, go to the schools, talk to, you know, the youth or the kids, and say, hey, here's my number, call me any time of the night if you are in a situation where you need help and need a ride home, you know, and just make it, you know, no questions, period, you know, and that sort of thing, where at least, you know, it makes kids feel safe enough to be able to call you and get a safe ride home instead of getting in a car with while they're drunk or while the driver's drunk. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I just had a couple comments to make, and I'll take your response if you have any off of the air. I just first want to say I respect a lot, very much, the courage it takes for you guys to stand out of the crowd and be vocal about your opposition to drinking. And I know it's not the norm in your age group. I know I didn't have the courage to do it when I was in high school, so just want to commend you guys for that. and then also say that I would like to see your statistics a little bit more broadened, like the base of your statistics broadened, because I think it's important to look at other countries and take, you know, for example, like Italy and France as an example of how we can teach our youth to be responsible with drinking. And I think a huge problem in this country right now is that it's such a huge taboo that, you know, once kids do, you know, finally get alcohol in their hands, that's the time when they, you know, that's why they're binge drinking like they are. I'd be interested to find out, you know, to hear what the statistics are of alcoholism in those other countries where it's not such a taboo, you know, and especially the excessive, you know, severe drinking that leads to, you know, huge drunk driving accidents and stuff like that that are so prevalent in our schools and stuff. So I guess my point is I think it's important to not be so biased in it, especially if you're trying to reach your, you know, your peers, your peer group, because if there's such a dogmatism about it, your peers aren't going to hear. You know, the people who are in danger of drinking and driving and stuff like that aren't really going to hear it if your standpoint is so biased. So that's that. I'll take your response off the air. Thanks.
Thank you, caller. Caller, you're on the air. Oh, well, just addressing that other caller's comment. I mean, personally, I don't have any biases, I don't think, against people who do drink or don't drink. I think that I just want people to be educated on what drinking does to your body, you know, and especially teenagers, like, who am I to judge or to say, you know, this is right and this is wrong, you know, but, you know, educating people on, you know, what drinking does to your brain or what drinking does to your liver or, you know, it lowers your inhibitions or, you know, damages everything. So, you know, if teens were more educated in that subjects, then I would feel better about them making the choice to drink or not.
I really agree with that. You know, we're not trying to be biased against, you know, people who do drink or people who don't. I mean, it's your own decision to make, as is everything else in your life. One of the things that we'd really hope to be promoting with this show is just more education about, you know, the mental and physical side effects of drinking and just getting that information out there so that everyone can make their own decision.
Yeah, just more awareness about things that, you know, maybe not everybody's, you know, no matter what age is even aware about, not even just the youth.
And one thing I would like to, one subject I'd like to hit on for any of the youth or parents or adults in this listening audience is to talk about overdose and young people or anybody who is over, who you think is having alcohol poisoning. You know, I as a youth, I have one of the problems I always come up with is people really being against calling the cops or calling for help. And so I really encourage people to, if you ever come into that situation, call for help or, you know, take them to the hospital or something like that. That's a really important issue that I wish we would have had more time to talk about.
That's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts tonight have been me, Janelle.
Jove.
Patty.
Thank you to our callers. One of the purposes of this show is to involve the community in dialogue, so your call-ins are important to us. We're happy to have been able to broadcast from the Willett studio. Youth Speaks Out is in need of funding. If you, as an individual or an organization, can help sponsor this project, please contact the director, Dan Roberts. Dan may be reached by phone at 459-1760, by mail at P.O. Box 1162 Willits, California 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. That's www.youthspeaksout.net. We would also once again like to thank Meredith from Stop Teen Drinking. The number for that organization once again is 1-800-557-2230. We also have the number for Alcoholics Anonymous, which is 462-7123, and their 800 number is 1-800-575-4357. The number for the Youth Crisis Line is 1-800-843-5000, and the number for Alcohol and Other Drug Programs is 472-2637. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who expressed them. Our next show will be the last Sunday of the month. That's September 24th at 6 p.m. Thank you for listening, and good night.